Today I want to teach on a balanced lifestyle, but I can't teach until we do our thing. And so are you guys ready? We'll do it in English and in Spanish. The I am, what the Word of God says, I am, thing, okay? We should title that one day and then we won't sound so awkward. I had to title my car. I've pretty much finished the yellow P1800, if anybody knows about that. I think a lot of you do. And I got tired of calling it the yellow P1800, so now I call it Old Yeller. Lynn says that won't do, but right now that's all we have. And she said, what's the red one called? And I said, the red brick. Because they're Swedish bricks. That's what they're called, Swedish bricks. It's a sport car. If you come around, you'll see it. But I like rebuilding cars, and it's a very inexpensive hobby. In the long run, it's much cheaper than buying a car. My wife's over there waving her hand. But I had to make the choice. Well, am I going to go out and buy a new car and go into massive debt? Or am I just going to get some old ones and fix them up? Well, the old one fixing up is a better way to go for me, with the size of family I have. So we've got Old Yeller and the Red Brick, but we need to name this. Are you ready? I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. I think you semi-bilingual guys really enjoy finally getting through that second one. It's great, though. It's great that we can expand our minds. Do you know that learning how to expand your mind is one of the great principles of the renewed mind? If you sit in your four-corner house and don't do things that expand the way you think, the way you perceive life, the way you live, when something comes your way that is outside of your four corners, well, you pretty much just get all freaked out. And if you find yourself getting upset in life a lot, to where you feel unstable, to where things are out of control, you have a need to expand your mind. And that's an integral aspect of a balanced Christian lifestyle. You've got to be able to handle things that come your way without getting shocked. If you want to be a leader, you really have to be like that. When everybody else is quivering out of fear, you're the one standing strong. And the reason people can stand strong, whereas others are quivering in fear, nervous, can't handle the pressure, is because they have an expanded mind. They've actually done things in their life outside of the ordinary. They've actually experienced things in their life outside of the ordinary. I'm not saying go do wrong things. I'm just saying expand your horizons so that it's not so difficult when something challenging comes along. I know that some people, they'll watch a movie that normally they wouldn't watch because it bothers them too much or something, just to expand their mind. Now, you don't go and play in the devil's playground, but you can do things that challenge and expand your way of thinking. Some people would never consider mountain climbing because they have a hard time walking down the street. But a mountain climbing experience could very well expand their mind. And you can make up lists of things that are outside of your ordinary that if you did them, it would
definitely be challenging, but give you a feeling of accomplishment. And it would also, as a side benefit, expand your mind. We're going through a situation worldwide that needs little mind expansion in our lives. And if when that world outside of you comes crashing down, and if that happens and makes you feel unstable, if it makes you feel like you're not in control, what you're experiencing is a lack of God's word. Because it's when the world comes crashing down all around you that you find out if you have God's word in your head and heart. That's right. And it comes back to the tribulation mindset. Now, if you haven't heard the teaching a month ago from our last area meeting, it's online, and I recommend you run and listen to it, because it teaches you about that tribulation mindset and also the last Artios, which is, both of those are on brbooks.org. There is no reason for you to come crashing down with the world. There's no reason for you to be caught up in fear because of the things going on in the world. None. You are a people out of time. You're a slice of life that is so special and so dynamically outside of everything else that God has ever done and ever will do, that you really don't have the right to fall into the ways of living like other people, the ways of feeling like other people, the ways of thinking like other people. As a Christian, you are at the highest of highs spiritually. You are seated in the heavenlies. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings. You've been given everything through Christ that you could possibly want. You have no need to repent anymore. You have no need to go begging God for forgiveness anymore. You have no need to be in any form of condemnation, be it Adam's condemnation or any type of miserable feelings you might have just about your own life. You have been given everything. And as part of a balanced Christian lifestyle, you have to recognize that. Well, if you find yourself crashing down while the world's crashing down around you, then what's happening is that the Word of God within you is being put to the test. Well, if it's not working for you, then you haven't been feeding on the right biblical truths. Because the biblical truths that you should be holding on to are that you're seated in the heavenlies, are that God has picked you out of time, so to speak, and made you a super abundant person, that He has sealed you with Holy Spirit, that no matter what happens around you, your life is completely taken care of, that Jesus Christ is coming back for you, that you have nothing to fear, not only in this world, but also with respect to the judgments that mankind will have to face. You are a people out of time. All time has been etched for mankind without Holy Spirit. And you, a Christian with Holy Spirit, are not part of those people. In a sense, time has been put in abeyance because of Christianity, God has closed his eyes to the sins of man. He's allowed things to happen that normally would never be allowed to happen. He's allowed kings and rulers to punish, subdue, and annihilate his dream of having a family, i.e. people. He's kept his hands off for the most part because this is a period of grace. It's a time out of time. And this is where you live. You're a very special people. You're not a people that has been reserved to judgment. You're not a people that has been reserved to condemnation. You're not a people that has been reserved to wicked rule. You're not a people that has been reserved to a demise, a degradation, a destruction. You're a people that has been exalted, that has been glorified, that has been literally raised from the dead and given life that no man can take away. You're a remarkable people. You're a people out of time. And for you to think anything other than that is folly. For you to go down any other road of knowledge than the Bible itself is foolishness. And for you to feel anything other than the greatness of what God has instilled within you, Holy Spirit, and all the benefits of that is ludicrous. You must hold on to the truth of who you are in Christ, of what God has made you, and yes, what he's prepared for you. And in doing so, while the world comes crashing down around you, you'll stand strong. You'll be at the highest of highs. You'll look around and it will be as if it's not happening, because you'll be so untouched by it. And truly, that's the way you ought to be. The balanced lifestyle of a Christian has three parts to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 teaches us that. And it's these three aspects of a Christian lifestyle that has been so tainted by so many false teachers, by so many religious organizations that honestly do not know what they're talking about. But the Bible knows what it's talking about, and all we have to do is know where to go in the Bible. And that's what I do. You know, I was talking about our latest book that we're hopefully going to release this year sometime. And I was talking with Stephanie, my daughter's friend, who just came back from a Christian youth summer camp. And she said, you know, they told us that they think Jesus Christ and God are separate. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, they said they don't believe that Jesus Christ and God are one. And I thought that was remarkable to hear something like that, and how wonderful. But I went on to tell her of the premise that I use when I write. And that premise is, if it's not in the Bible, it doesn't get any space in my book. And so this book that I'm writing, that I've written, has all to do with the primary contradictory doctrines that we deal with today. And there's a lot of them. You know, like, are the dead alive now, or are you dead when you die? That's one. And another one is the Trinity. Is Jesus Christ God, or is he the Son of God? And I knew I had to write something about that, but if I stuck with my premise that I can't really write about anything that's not in the Bible, I wasn't sure what I was going to do, because the Trinity's not in the Bible. I took every Trinitarian word that I knew. Three in one, one in three. God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. God the Son. And all these phrases that these religious teachers falsely throw out to people. And I searched the Bible from hen to yon, and I found no response, nothing. And so I listed all these phrases in this chapter, and based on this premise that I discussed in the chapter, and then I would just say, phrase not found. I mean, that's all I could say. Well, then I got to the part, well, what did I find? And what I did find was Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So that's the name of the chapter, the Son of God. And that's what I wrote. I wrote all about Jesus Christ being the Son of God. And the reason I did, because that's all the Bible has to say about Jesus Christ. It doesn't tell that he's anything else. And based on that premise, I used it for today's teaching, the balanced Christian lifestyle. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, we learn of the three parts of the Christian that have to be kept in balance. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there you have the three parts of a Christian: body, soul, and spirit. That's it. If you look at you, you've got three things to see. You've got a body, you've got a soul, and you've got spirit. Well, the scope of God's word teaches that your spirit and your soul are both spirit. Your soul is that life within you that allows your body to function, that gives the gumption to your brain so you can think, and it gives the pitter-patter to your heart so it can pump, and it gives the ability to walk around and even do whoopees. That's the soul. And the soul is an interesting creature, and it is a creation of sorts, but it was created about 6,000 years ago, and it's just passed down as daddy has another child. And then everybody has the soul from him, and then if they happen to have a boy, then the boy can keep passing the soul. And then the soul dies. When you die, it's gone. There's nothing else to it. It doesn't go to heaven. It's not your consciousness. It's not running around in heaven right now with binoculars watching you or some other people, because maybe they're more exciting than you right now. Who knows? But that's your soul. It's not eternal. It's not immortal. Your soul dies when you die. And then but it is spirit, okay? And then the spirit part, it says in verse 23, is talking about the gift of Holy Spirit when you get born again, when you confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. And that makes up the third part. And so, in fact, let's look in Acts 2, verse 38. And what we're doing is we're realizing the three parts that have to be in balance: the body, the soul, and the spirit. And I want to show you just this one verse that I think is really neat about Holy Spirit. I've taught a lot about the soul in the past, so I'm not going to spend any real time on it. I might mention a few more things. But in Acts 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness, not remission, but forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of Holy Ghost. But that means Holy Spirit. The gift. The gift is Holy Spirit. It's small h, small s. It's not God. It's a gift from God. That's why you don't capitalize it. If you're talking about God, you can capitalize it. But just because you capitalize Holy Spirit doesn't make it any more holy and any more spirit, okay? It's just the way we recognize emphasis. And yet the gift is not God. So you can keep it small h and small s just so that you understand what you're talking about. And when you read it in my Artios, when you see small h, small s, you know I'm talking about the gift. Well, it's a gift. And so when you confess Jesus as Lord out of Romans 10, 9 and 10, we sang about that this morning. When you confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you receive that gift. Now, there's people out there that teach you don't get the gift automatically. And that, you know, you've got to be anointed, and they get you all worried if you even have Holy Spirit. It's just nonsense what's out there. When you confess Jesus as Lord and when you believe that God raised him from the dead, you're filled with it. It's yours. And it can never go away. And then from that point on, it's up to you to operate. Turn to 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. And you ought to be operating that old gift of Holy Spirit. And I'm just touching on Holy Spirit so that you know it's not the soul. Your soul isn't holy. Not at all. But Holy Spirit is holy. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you ever want to show anybody what abilities you have with that gift of Holy Spirit, you can just read in verses 8, 9, and 10. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, then you've got word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. We categorize them a little differently just because of their nature, and so it makes it easier to understand. But there they are listed, and that's what you ought to be doing. Well, now you know what the body is, now you know what the soul is, and now you know what the gift of Holy Spirit is. Those are the three parts of a Christian. If you are not born again, in other words, if you have not said, Jesus is my Lord, and believe that God raised him from the dead, you don't have that last one, the gift of Holy Spirit. The only parts you have are your body and your soul. But you don't have the gift of Holy Spirit. So you're not complete. You're only two-thirds complete. Now, three is the biblical number for completion. Kind of interesting. When you have all three parts, man, you are ready to go. It's just like my old Yeller. It's all rebuilt. It's got fuel in the tank. And the only thing I've got to do is get my wife in the driver's seat. And let me tell you, that thing screams. Okay. If you really want to scream through life, you got to have all three. You got to have body, you got to have soul, and you got to have Holy Spirit. Now that's what makes a Christian. So if you don't have Holy Spirit, you're not complete. The Muslims don't have this gift. The Hindus don't have this gift. The Buddhists don't have this gift. The Hare Krishna Hindus don't have this gift. The Jews don't have this gift. The Zoroastrians don't have this gift. The Shintos don't have this gift. The Confucians don't have this gift. The Jains don't have this gift. The Taoists don't have this gift. The Sikhs don't have this gift. The Baha'is don't have this gift. And those are all your primary world religions. And you know something? They like to call Christians a religion, but it's not. Christianity is a way of the Father with his children, with his family. Now there's religions in Christianity, but we don't care about those. Okay? They're just a mess. But there are many Christians who also don't have this gift. That's sad. And that's because they're taught wrong. Well, we need to get to the place that we take care of our body, our soul, and because we're so privileged to have it, Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, a verse on your body. Now, if you want to get a lot more detail, you need to check out the Artios next month, because I've written a lot about this, the balanced Christian lifestyle. And you put this teaching together with that, and you have some things that you could really sink into your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Your body is considered a temple, and God dwells in you. Can you get him out of you? No. What if you're in a bad mood? No. What if you're in a good mood? What if you're filthy, stinky, dirty? What if you're super clean and perfumed like crazy? He's always there. God is always dwelling in you. Look in chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6. You think you got the right to say, "Oh, I can do whatever I want to do with my body"? I got to show you something in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" Oh my gosh. But I thought I could do whatever I wanted to do. I thought I could do anything. I thought I could be as emotional as I want or as stable as I want. I can do anything I want. No, you're not your own, because you were bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. God owns you now. He owns you so much that he lives inside you, whether you believe it or not. That has nothing to do with this. I'm just telling you. You see, if you don't know what the word says, you don't have a clue about what's really going on in the spiritual realm. And these are just two of the greatest truth that I know. It's just fabulous. God lives in me. Man, back in the Old Testament, the old high priest, he could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year. God didn't live in anybody back then. And he's not going to live in anybody in Revelation either. You guys are a people out of time. He lives in you when you're running your cash register or cleaning that toilet or driving down the road or listening to the teacher in school or giving your report. Whether you're high or low or somewhere in between, he's always in you. That's your body. So you take care of your body. You've got an outside of your body and an inside of your body. You take care of it. You wash that body. You keep it smelling good. You get nice clothes on that body. You make yourself look like the temple of God. You don't even have a choice in this. You need to elevate your thinking to what you have on the inside. You've got God in you. He lives in you. Well, you sleep right. You get the right amount of rest. You exercise. You know, if you buy a new car and you say, "Okay, this is mine. I'm happy I have it." And every week you go put another $50 of gas in it, and you just drive the bejeebies out of that. Somebody asked me one time what the bejeebies were. I don't know. I just see him going down the road when my wife takes off an old Yeller. And you're just driving that old car. You never open the hood. You don't do any maintenance to it. But you say, "Man, I'm putting fuel in there every week. Life is good." Before you know it, that car breaks down. Might take a while, but it finally breaks down. You're not balanced in how you're managing that car. You got to take care of all aspects of it. Well, you're the same way. You could go exercise all day long, but if you eat bad food, for instance, You're going to pay for it. God expects you to eat well. He expects you to eat good things. You got to take care of the inside of your body as well as the outside. That's called a balanced approach. Well, now you don't want to get out of whack on it. You don't want to always be eating good foods but never get off the couch. Now that can cause a problem too. So it's all about balance. There is a balance in life in everything. You name it, you'll find a balance in it. Even your tires in the car have to be balanced for the car to run smoothly. Everything has a balance to it. The old tightrope walker, he's got to be really balanced. Everything that he does has to be balanced. His clothes have to be balanced. Even the big old pole that he uses has to be balanced. So he could be real balanced up there by himself, but if he gets an out of balance pole, he's going to fall. And then the whole wire that he's on, it has to be balanced. If the poles that are holding up the wire aren't balanced, they'll fall over when he gets up there. Everything has a balance to it. Well, so should your life. Your body has to be kept in balance on the inside and on the outside. But then your body has to be kept in balance with your three parts, body, soul, and spirit. So you don't go and spend so much time on your body that you forget about your soul or your spirit. You keep things in balance. I imagine, you know those guys that stick up their one little finger and then put the basketball up there and just are spinning it like crazy? Something I can't do. It's balanced. And I imagine you holding a plate up on your finger with three servings of on it, body, soul, and spirit, and they all have to have the same weight so that that plate just sits up there nice and level. So if you spend a lot of time on your body, my girls spend a lot of time in the bathroom doing their hair. Now that's okay as long as they spend a lot of time on their soul and their spirit, because I don't want that plate to slide off my finger, you know. So it's all got to be balanced. In 3 John chapter 1, well, there's only one. I'll show you this. I love this verse because regarding the soul, you got to take care of your soul too. When people think that their mind is out of whack, it's really their soul. And when they think their soul's out of whack, it's probably really their mind. I don't know. It goes back and forth. But if you understand that your soul is an integral part of your life, it's a tender subject. It's your soul is spirit, but it's not eternal spirit. It does not stand before God's throne without the aid of the gift of Holy Spirit. It's always in need of care. It needs food. The Hebrew word for soul is throat. Did you know that? And it's used for eating. When you eat, you feed your soul. Your body has to process it, but it's so that your soul gets its energy. It needs rest. It needs love. It needs good things. It always responds to what you're doing, whether good or bad, positive or negative. It responds to other souls. It's sometimes wild and needs taming. It's sometimes quiet and needs encouragement. It's sometimes sad and it needs laughter. It's sometimes stressed and it needs comfort. The Word of God addresses the soul of man, and it provides it with all the necessary ingredients of a wonderful Christian lifestyle. In 3 John chapter 1, there's only one. What the heck? We'll say it anyway. Chapter 1. And in verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. Now that's a balanced verse. Because here you have health, which is for your body, and then you have your soul prospering. Well, if your soul doesn't prosper, you're not going to have health. Okay? They're so intricately intertwined. They work together. Your soul has to have health too. You know, guys that are thrown into a prisoner of war camp, of course they don't feed them well and their bodies suffer. They don't get to brush their teeth. Maybe and their teeth start to fall out. But that's all the body. But what about the soul? They're really trying to dampen the soul, to destroy the soul, to keep it alive just barely. but making the person wish that they were dead. The soul has to be taken care of. And so if you're in trying situations in life that are depressing your soul, you need to reverse that. You've got to watch what's going on around you, because positives and negatives both affect your soul. Stress affects your soul. And you want to have your soul revived. You want to have your soul strengthened. Well, one of the greatest ways to feed your soul is with God's Word, because God's Word teaches your mind, but then it's related to your soul, and your soul's encouraged. It's strengthened. Holy Spirit strengthens your soul too. See, that's an added benefit you have as a Christian. God's energy is placed on your life, your energy, and you have even more energy. All kinds of neat things that happen as they work together. But if you don't take care of your soul, then you're going to have trouble. The Word of God encourages, it soothes, it strengthens, it develops, it teaches, it corrects, it quiets, it ignites, it subdues, it rules, and so many more things for your soul. The mind of man holds God's Word. The soul of man utilizes it. The mind of man considers God's Word. The soul of man thrives on it. The mind of man accepts God's Word. The soul of man absorbs it. The mind of man thinks on God's Word. The soul of man hungers after it. The mind of man has a physical role. It stores the Word. It thinks about the Word. It accepts the Word. It rejects the Word. The soul of man has a spiritual role. It desires to use the Word. It thrives on the Word. It absorbs the Word. It hungers after the Word. Care for your soul by feeding it God's Word every day. Then your soul will prosper and provide you with your necessary life for many years to come. And then finally, the gift of Holy Spirit, keeping it in balance with what you're doing with your soul and your body. Now you're out exercising and eating right, but you're also feeding God's Word into your life so that your soul can benefit. You know that the Bible is spiritual, right? Not the papers, and not the ink, and not your beautiful leather cover with your gold embossed name on it. That's not spiritual. But the weight of the words is. And as you introduce these remarkably wonderful spiritual words into your mind, something magnificent transpires. Those words, once released, go into you and start a transformation. They start a change. They start a movement of life and abundance and greatness that only God's Word could do. And so you have to look at the words of the Word of God as spiritual words, as words that have power, that when spoken or read, introduced into you, unleash a mighty spiritual fervor. The words of God are like the wings on the wind. The words of God are like the thrust in an engine. The words of God are the power sources that you can't see but know exist in every living being. The words of God are the mightiest thing that float throughout the air, entering into the greatness of the universes of all time, powering, giving life and energy to everything that has ever been and everything that will ever be. When you speak God's word, when you dwell on God's word, when you read God's word, it introduces that same power, that same life, that same might into you, and it starts a process. So when you read a verse, you know that, oh gosh, this life just flooded my soul. When you speak the word to somebody, you know that you just flooded, you just drenched them with a power so awesome that only you as a Christian could recognize it. Why, when you speak the word, it's like you standing on the throne of God itself and uttering the utterances of God, just like God would. That's how powerful it is. So you need to soak your soul in it. You need to drench yourself in it and realize that you've just started a process. You've just started a movement of life. The Word of God is spiritual. And you've got to believe that. In Ephesians chapter 4, we learn something. Well, I would hope that you're wishing for it now, because knowing what the gift of Holy Spirit is and what you've been given, knowing the power that you have, knowing of all the things that God has done for you via that gift of Holy Spirit, you would never want to lose that, would you? Like the psalmist David said, oh, I don't want to lose my gift of Holy Spirit, because God took it off of people in the Old Testament, just like he put it on them. But no such thing for us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You are sealed, literally, sealed, sealed, signed, sealed, not quite delivered, but sealed with Holy Spirit. Nobody's going to come and open it up and make it escape. Nobody's going to come and contaminate it. Nobody's going to come and remove it at all. You can't, and nobody else can. You're sealed with it. You're sealed. It's there forever. It's yours. It's the proof of all that is to come. And so you'll never lose it. But the one thing you don't want to do is grieve it. The worst thing you could do with your gift is grieve it. You know how, kids, you know how you grieve your parents, like if you're not obeying? And parents, you know how you grieve your boss if you're not doing what he said to do? And bosses, you know how you grieve God if you're treating your people wrongly? There's a whole grieving that people can cause with other people. You know what grieving is. Okay, it's really giving people a hard time. Well, you don't want to give the gift a hard time. And you can. Don't grieve it. Don't grieve it. You guys are a people out of time. You're not like every other Tom, Dick, and Harry on the street. You're a people out of time. You're a special breed. You're a super abundant people. And if you really want to live it, you don't grieve the one thing that makes you that way. You got to be committed to a cause. You got to be committed to what God made you, to who you are. You've got to be committed. You know, you can go and blow off your homework. You can go and blow off the task your boss said to do. You can ignore all the fine details. You can go blow off the kind of food you eat. You can just blow off anything in the world if you really want to. You can make your own choices. But don't blow off Holy Spirit. And that's the one thing most people blow off. They're sitting there with their fingers stuck in the air trying to balance that plate with three servings on it, body, soul, and spirit, and Holy Spirit always comes up light. So that plate is always fallen. If and when your life is in a turmoil, it's because it's out of balance. It's just out of whack. If you can't control your emotions, it's because you're out of balance. If you can't control your sicknesses, it's because you're out of balance. And if you can't control what you're doing spiritually, it's because you're out of balance. All of life is designed to be in balance. Every bit of it. Well, even the bracelet that you wear. If it's out of balance, you're going to be like those little kids that have those problems. They run around all the time and nobody can stop them. So they put a love bug on them. My daughter is telling me about this. It's like a weight. And then the kid runs around, these little two-year-olds or whatever. They run around, but they get tired because they have a weight on them. But it looks like a little love bug. If your bracelet's out of balance, your life is going to be miserable. You're going to be walking, dragging one hand on the ground all day long. You just got to be in balance, folks. And so if something's just continually wrong with your body that you could control, you got to bring all three back in balance. If something's wrong with your soul, let's say you're always depressed, it's because you're out of balance. And if you're not operating spiritually, you know you're out of balance. And we read in 2 Corinthians, and this is where we'll close. Chapter 4. The 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Folks, you're going to go through things that make you want to faint. But I don't want you fainting. And you don't need to faint if you're in balance. If you're working your body, soul, and spirit properly. And you got to work them. You work them. Get yourself in balance. If you're tired of feeling miserable, then get yourself in balance. Spend more time on the things that you don't spend any time on so that you can stop spending time on the things you're spending time on that are causing the problems. Get yourself in balance. So you're going to run into things and you're going to feel like fainting sometime, but as soon as that thing shows up, man, you elevate yourself to the heavenlies. You once again recognize who you are in Christ and you keep your walk balanced. Your whole life has to be balanced. That's why it's a Christian lifestyle. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. You have to get rid of the bad things. If you've got bad music in your life, get rid of it. If you've got bad art in your life, get rid of it. If you've got negative people in your life, stop hanging around them. Get rid of the bad side of life. You don't need it and you're not required to have it. You might have convinced yourself that, oh, I guess this is just the way it's going to be. No, this is not just the way it's going to be. You decide. You renounce the things that are holding you back. You stop. You have got to put off of your plate the things that are keeping it out of whack. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I know of no better way to manifest the truth than by operating Holy Spirit. But I know of no better way of manifesting the truth of God's word than by leading a balanced Christian lifestyle. I just couldn't come up with anything else. A balanced Christian lifestyle where you look good, you smell good, you're healthy, you sound good, You talk well. You're stable emotionally. You're happy and filled with joy, a balanced soul. And you're just raring to go with those nine manifestations. You've got Holy Spirit in order. You understand that you don't own you anymore. That God owns you. He paid for you. And you don't have a choice in this anymore. You operate the one thing that makes you so different than anybody else. That gift of Holy Spirit. You keep all of these three wonderful parts of you in balance. You've got to pay attention to them. So you don't get so focused on one that you can't pay attention to the others. You don't ignore one and only pay attention to the others. Truly balanced Christians not only hold the Word of God mentally, they operate Holy Spirit. But they not only operate Holy Spirit, they study the Word. They not only make sure their bodies are clean and cared for, they care for others spiritually too. They eat right, they sleep right, they play right, they receive knowledge from proper sources, they associate with good people, including other trustworthy Christians. They study God's Word, they pray, they give of themselves in the church as needed, they operate Holy Spirit as often as they can, and they look for ways to allow God to work in them to will and to do of His good pleasure. So you take the time to look at your physical life. You take the time to look at your soul life. You take the time to look at your spiritual life. And you spend equal amounts of time on all three, making sure that your efforts are balanced. This is how you live a balanced Christian lifestyle. You consider body, soul, and spirit.
Thank you.